Welcome to Sport, Faith, Life with Brian Bolt and Chad Carlson, the podcast that meets at the intersection of sport and faith. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and our Sport, Faith, Life YouTube channel, where you can watch full episodes as we dive deeper into how Christianity and sports connect. Hit that subscribe button and leave us a review on whatever podcast platform you're listening on. Today on Sport, Faith, Life, we speak with Jake McDermott. Jake is the head of health and physical education at Geneva Christian College in Tasmania and has a passion for sport and faith. An athlete himself, Jake has transitioned into teaching and research with a keen eye for how Christian faith is formed in young people in and through sport. His research explores student identity with a particular focus on understanding sport as a form of worship in Christian education. We are so excited to speak with Jake, so let's get started.
We are so excited to have Jake McDermott with us this morning. Jake, glad to have you. Tell us a little bit about sport in your life.
Yeah, g'day, Chad. Thanks. Look, sport in my life is fairly prominent. It's kind of been probably the single most, I guess, consistent part of my life for a very long time. I grew up with a mum and a dad who were heavily into sport. I live in Tasmania, which is at the bottom of Australia, so we're very much AFL football state. I grew up on the floors of footy clubs watching my dad play football and basketball and my mum playing. And just from as young as I can remember, it was all I wanted to do. You know, you see your dad and you see a role model playing sport and you think, oh geez, like that's something I want to be part of. And it kind of shaped so many of my early memories. And I'm 33 now and I'm still playing football, be it probably at the pointy end of my career, but I'm still extremely passionate about sport, and I dare say I've pretty much played everything I could get my hands on growing up. So AFL being the main one, but you know, whether it was basketball, volleyball, cricket, like anything that was available, I kind of wanted to play. Like I'm very competitive, I guess, in that terms. Like if someone throws a rock, like I want to see if I can throw mine further. So I've always kind of been wired that way. So I was just naturally drawn to sport. To say it's shaped a large component of my life is really just only scratching the tip of the iceberg there. And obviously I've, dedicated a large portion to not just playing sport, but working in schools and teaching sports and researching sport. And it's such a big scope for me at the moment. So very, very passionate, lifelong enthusiast of sport.
Jake, before we move on, let's clarify for our listeners. When you say AFL, what are you talking about?
So AFL is Australian Football League. So that is our local code in Australia. We have rugby and we have AFL in Australia, and they kind of, I guess, compete for the ownership or viewership of what is our national sport sometimes. But where I live, we are definitely dominated by AFL. If you haven't seen a game of AFL, It's kind of hard to describe. It's a bit of organized chaos. A little bit of rugby, a little bit of soccer. It's a very fast paced, explosive sport. It's something, as I said, I started playing when I was 5 at a local level, and I still play now at 33. It's a really good grassroots sports that junior kids get involved in where I live, and it does have very good translation into adult sports as well.
We have never had, Brian, a guest on the show, I don't think, that has talked at all about Aussie rules football. I mean, I can't remember anybody. This is new territory for us, Jake.
No, and I think, so I'm just going to jump in here. Jake, you are still playing AFL. So yes. Give me a sense of your role on your team. What are the things that you do for your team?
As I mentioned, I am in the later stages of my career.
Sure.
At 33, it's a competitive sport and it's a contact sport. So the body doesn't pull up quite like it used to. As I said, I'm not trying to under any illusion say that I play at an extremely high level or I'm a great athlete. I just enjoy the game and I've always played it. But my role now, as I'm a little bit older, is I work in the coaching space as well as playing. So I guess I I really help provide that, I guess, leadership off and on the field. I do play in the midfield, which is a very taxing cardiovascular position. It's probably the position on the field that requires the most amount of running. But as I've kind of gotten older, I've really developed like a passion for running. So I've sort of like, I generally sort of try to run, you know, 5 to 6 times a week at the moment. And that's really just been, I guess, as I've got older, it's like I've realized that I probably don't need to be as physical and take the hits that I used to hit. I can actually avoid them a little bit and try and run a little bit more. So it's maybe a little bit of wisdom in my sporting journey there.
Yeah, we all get wiser as we get older, don't we? That's fantastic. Jake, you're in good company here. Sports guys, appreciate the breadth of your experiences and sharing a little bit about that, sharing a little bit about the AFL. And like I said, this is new territory for us, which is exciting. We'll probably ask more about it later on in the show. But as we continue on here, tell us a little bit about faith in your life.
So I guess I mentioned earlier, you know, I spent most of my childhood crawling around football clubs and probably not so much churches. I didn't particularly grow up in a Christian family. It wasn't something that I was guess was prominent for us. I didn't really find my faith until I was sort of in the middle of high school. I guess in those like earlier years, like 13, 14 years old. It's a pretty I guess, a typical story of someone finding their feet in those circles. You know, I was invited to a youth group and I had some friends who were going to that. And yeah, I felt really connected originally. Just with like the message and the local youth pastor at the time, and probably was a little bit unaware of exactly how much it was influencing me at the time. But you know, I look back now as an adult and I think about how amazing some of those initial impressions made on me. Like for someone who didn't grow up in a Christian family to be so integrated into that community early was really cool. And it kind of gave me my first sense of like community, which I think was really big. And yeah, since then I've been, I guess, a regular practicing Christian for a long time now. Probably felt maybe in my earlier years that I was drifting through a little bit. I've always claimed to be a Christian, but didn't really cement my faith till probably about 8 years ago, where I felt like I had this really, like, I guess, like transformation in my thinking and my understanding, and feeling that really the push to sort of like really draw nearer to God, and feeling like the parts of my life that were missing. I can honestly say, like, since the last 7 or 8 years, I've really felt God's hand on nearly every direction of my life, whether it's in my work, my sport, my professional practice, even, you know, I'm meeting my wife and, you know, I have a 1-year-old now and, you know, becoming a new father brings a whole new element to your faith as well. You know, yes, you start to really unpack, I guess, God's love and his sacrifice. And so it's a really healthy part of my life. And I talk to a lot of my friends who aren't Christians, particularly, you know, being part of sporting clubs and having a lot of friends who aren't integrated in a church or Christians, you know, it's really interesting to hear the parts of their life that seem to be lacking. And I'm really fortunate that I guess I don't have those, because I have I have such a blessing that I have so many people in my life that have really helped me on my journey. Along with sport, it's really the only other constant that's always been in my life. For a guy who's not very good at I guess like the constantness and not very good at plugging myself down into one place. I'm someone who really likes change. It's probably the two most dramatic things in my life that have.
Well, Jake, that's a great story. Thanks for sharing that. Idea of evolving into a church life is probably had a significant effect on your immediate family. It's obviously on your new family. Congratulations on your newborn for sure. But also, I'm interested, how did that go within your family? You said you were brought up in not a Christian home, but you became a Christian. How did that work when you had sort of made your decision and committed your life to Christ?
No, that's a great question. So I've had a really, really fortunate upbringing. Just despite not being in a Christian family, I feel I was raised in a family that was one that had really, I guess, a good sense of morals and a good sense of ethics. And I had a fantastic childhood. I have a mum and a dad who were extremely present. They loved me and they set a great example. You know, they were amazing role models. But I'm actually also a twin. And I do have a twin sister. And funnily enough, yeah, when I started exploring, I guess, youth groups and faith and what it looked like to be part of a church life, she also became interested. And it was really, really cool to see us, I guess, both go on that journey. And, you know, fast forward now, here we are 20, 25 years later. She's also, you know, we get to go to church together as a family. Like my mum goes, my sister goes, all our kids go there together. And it's, I guess, as I said, I'm very fortunate that I had such an accepting family that did, I had such a lucky upbringing in the way I was raised. And I've often spoke about the way I was raised and my family, despite not being Christian. You know, it's so hard to believe that God was not a part of that when I look at the values that they have in place. And, you know, I look at my father particularly, who is an extremely strong role model for me. And he's one of the kindest, most generous, empathetic guys I've ever met. And, you know, like I often say, like, if I could be half the man he is, I will consider myself very lucky. But he's not a practicing Christian and he's not someone who regularly attends church. But I just feel the values and the ethics that he, you know, has in him have really, really shaped who I am. And yeah, so I'm quite fortunate in that.
Yeah, and that's a very gracious and generous and really uplifting story too. So thanks so much for sharing that part of your life. I wonder if you could give us something already for many of our listeners. Few have been to Tasmania, I'm sure. So you're an intriguing person just on that front. But give us something about you that maybe our listeners wouldn't know that could help them get to know you.
Yeah. As I said, well, we may as well keep with the theme of Tasmania because it is a pretty isolated part of the world. And I have spent all my life growing up here. I've been quite fortunate to travel to a few places. I've been to Canada and I've been to America and I've been to a few countries in Asia and I've been quite fortunate in that. But Tassie's definitely, yeah, it's my favorite place in the world and it's where I call home. But I guess like something interesting about me is you talk about AFL, we are currently in the process of putting in a license to have a very first AFL team in Tasmania. So despite being a football state for a very, very long time, we've actually never been in the AFL. And it was I've had a really, really unique opportunity over the last couple of years where I actually was able to work for AFL Tasmania. And I worked in their health and wellbeing space as well as my teaching. And I got to travel all around Australia with our under 18 and under 16 national teams. And a lot of those guys that I got to travel with, these, I guess, young athletes are now the guys who are shaping what our AFL team looks like this year and next year, which it was a really cool experience for me. And the way I describe my role there was, it was essentially being a chaplain for these young kids, but without, I guess, the Christian element. I used to be able to get alongside them and, you know, there's so many pressures that these young kids faced, like deselection and training hard and I guess like seeing their dreams maybe not come to fruition. And I used to often say to them, you know, I'm the only person here who doesn't care how you perform. I care how you're doing. And I thought that was a really, really important message to give to some of these people. So while it's not specifically just about me individually, I think it was a really good opportunity for me to start exploring, I guess, some of those more professional athletes and some of the more high-end athletes. And it was a real eye-opener to see the pressures that they dealt with. And it was a really big privilege to be able to travel and train and to connect with some of these young guys who I have no doubt are going to shape what the future of Tasmanian AFL looks like. So I'm very proud to have done that role and got to know some of these really, really awesome young kids. And now I get to see them playing on the TV, which is, you know, an added bonus.
Yeah. Well, Jake, I'm hearing in your answers, first of all, a really rich love of sport, a playful love of sport. I also hear a very authentic faith, but also like an inclination toward young people. You just have an interest in development, personal growth, for yourself, but also for others. So it seems to me like all those things are rolling well together with you. And I'm just wondering about your sort of your educational background, because you've started to do research around faith, sport, young people, all those sorts of things. What is your educational background?
So originally, I guess as a student growing up, I was not a good student. I looked forward to doing PE because I got to go play sport. But as far as all my other subjects, I was a very hyperactive young kid, and I needed to be constantly moving and constantly in motion. And I mean, even now, I'm exactly the same. I struggle to sit still and I struggle to focus. But what I do find is if I'm passionate about something and if it's a topic that I'm super interested in, like I will really throw everything into it. And I guess that's kind of what's happened of late. I started my journey at the University of Tasmania doing a bachelor's degree in teaching and education, and I was focusing on PE teaching. And I guess like you said, you know, I have a natural inclination to young people. You know, as much as I love playing sport, I love helping other people find a passion for sport. And that role as a PE teacher gave me the opportunity to be able to make that my full-time career. I've been doing it now for almost 10 years. And throughout those 10 years, I've worked predominantly in Christian education. And I've been very, very fortunate to have some good mentors in that role. But I love teaching PE. I love, you talk about the playful nature. Like for me, that's what it is. I get to go to work and I get to play sports with kids and I get to show them the passion that I have for sport and hope that it rubs off on them. And just naturally, like, I guess I've always had that, whether it's the background of playing sport myself, I've always had that, okay, what's next? What can I do next? And I guess that's what's kind of pushed my academic side of things of late. When I finished my degree initially, I decided I wanted to enroll into some postgrad study. And I started looking at a postgrad diploma in sports development, and I just kind of like ticked it off on the side. Like it wasn't something I did full time. It was just something I did while I was teaching full time. And then I've kind of had this, I guess, saying that's, you know, it's popped up throughout my life over and over again, you know, and it's like, if God opens a door, like I just have to walk through it. And it doesn't matter what the outcome is. I just know if I continue to walk through the doors, no matter what happens, I'm good. And I know that God's got me. And that's kind of where I've been at. The postgrad study led to the job of AFL Tasmania. It kind of just opened up and fell in my lap. And then I was doing that and absolutely loving it. And obviously, as I mentioned to you, you know, my wife fell pregnant and we had a son. And as much as I loved that job and I loved helping these young guys, I probably didn't love it as much as I love being at home with my own son. And, you know, traveling around Australia a fair bit and being away from home, I sort of said, okay, well, I don't know what my next thing is going to be, but I've got to put my trust in God. And I stepped away from that job. And I think it was probably about a week and a half later, I was talking to some of the guys who run Alpha Crucis University, which is a Christian university in Australia. And basically, they were sort of saying to me that there's an opening in their PE department and they're looking for someone to take on that role to start lecturing. And I just said, yeah, why not? Like, why can't it be me? And yeah, I stepped into that role and that was kind of my first venture into, I guess, higher academics. And it's really, really fulfilling. Like I was able to do it from home, so I wasn't missing out on time with my wife and my son, and it wasn't interfering with other parts of my life. And through that, I sort of started to become, I guess, really, really passionate about like, well, there's so many elements of my life that I think sometimes I look at as separate, you know, my sport, my faith, you know, my family, my career and all these things. But all of a sudden, they all started intersecting. And I started to really deeply think about the things that I'm passionate about. And obviously, you know, sport, faith, working with young people, it's kind of all, as you said, it's rolled into this one thing that's kind of all started to work towards the same goal. And yeah, I decided to start looking at some further study and wanted to look at, I guess, some doctorate programs and some PhD programs and what that would look like, because I kind of like the idea of focusing all my energy and all my enthusiasm into a topic that I was passionate about. Because my study didn't have a research component, I had to take on some independent research. And that's where my first kind of research project came up with, because I was like, well, what am I passionate about? I'm passionate about students. I'm passionate about sport. I'm passionate about my faith. And what does this look like for me? So I started to look at a topic about how, I guess, student athletes perceive what they do on the sporting field as worship. A lot of the topics that I guess I am passionate about and explore, I'm passionate about and exploring because like they're applicable to me right now where I am as well. And one of the things that I guess I'd always struggled a little bit was how I acted on a footy field and how I conducted myself. How does that honor God? And what am I doing to, I guess, shape those around me? And what am I doing to show the students that there is a pathway to play sports, to be competitive, to have that fire in them, but also to represent, yourself in a Christ-like manner. So it's kind of informed, I guess, where my research has gone. From that, I've been very fortunate. I've been working through the process of applying at a couple of different schools to do some PhD. And I am probably, I would say, 90% through my application at one school and working through another at another school. So I guess I've got two main schools that I would love an opportunity to work through. And I'm hoping maybe by the end of the week, I'll actually have an answer. So it's all happening really fast, but it's cool. Like I said, God opens doors. And if I just walk through them, good things keep happening. So yeah, I guess that's my educational background. And that's, I guess, the direction that I'm heading at the moment. I'm really excited about potentially what it looks like. And to be honest, I have no idea what the next 6 to 7 years could look like in that space, but I'm super excited to explore it.
Exciting for us to see, Jake, you as a new researcher in the field, right? It's not a big field of people who are doing this type of study, specifically the qualitative work that you've done. And so when your research article came across our desk, we were super excited to talk to you. You've identified some of the main players in the field, Rob Ellis, Stuart Weir, Andy Parker, Nick Watson. Those are guys that you cite in your article. Tell us a little bit more specifically about the research that you did, the data that you collected. It was from Christian schools students who were athletes, correct? Either at the club or the scholastic level. You're asking them about sport as worship and how they see connections between sport and Christianity. What did you find?
Firstly, it's funny you talked about, I guess, I've identified some of the guys who are prominent in the field. And I guess in the whole notion of, I guess walking through doors, I thought to myself, when I first started researching it, I'm like, I would love to chat to some of these guys. I would love to have a conversation with them. And I was like, well, there's no harm in asking. So I actually reached out to Stuart and Robert Ellis. And both were great. They were amazing. They both got back to me. They both started an initial conversation, and I was able to sit down and have a Teams and a Zoom call with both of them at different periods and talk to them about their research and how they got started. And they were really good in helping give me a bit of direction into where I was going and what potential study could look like. And I will say this, like, they're both incredibly humble men. They were very, very focused on, I guess, like, both times, like, giving the flowers to each other, I guess, in a sense. Like, they spoke so highly of everyone else around them and probably downplayed their contributions, which I think is a really, I guess, special way to be in that space, because they are, as you said, very prominent people in the field. So the fact that they would take time out of their day to meet with a guy who lives, at a little island at the bottom of Australia, who's so new in his journey in this, like, it was really, really lovely to know that there are people out there who actually genuinely don't want anything in return. They just want to help, and they are just passionate about it. So my hat goes off to both them, because it was fantastic to have that opportunity to speak to them. As I said, it did help shape a lot of the research. You start asking these questions and you start looking at what's out there. And I saw that a lot of their studies were talking about, I guess, how sport can be viewed as worship at maybe an elite level for athletes. And there's some really, really good stuff that come out of some of their studies. But I guess for me, trying to narrow that focus a little bit to youth athletes was really, really important to me because it's something that I'm currently in the trenches with. You know, I work with youth athletes every day, not just as a teacher, as a coach, and as so many different roles. And it was really cool. I being such a small community, the cool thing about that is we sort of know everyone here. So I was able to reach out to kind of all the other Christian schools in the community and have a chat to their principals and their PE teachers and just say, hey, this is what I'm looking at doing. I'd love to be able to sort of sit down, have a chat to some of your students. It won't take long. And everyone was so receptive of that and so on board. As I said, it's a small community and everyone kind of like, I guess, backs everyone here. My initial sample size was about 20 students and it started off really, really simple. I sat down, we had a very casual sit down interview style conversation and I just had about 10 questions about how they view faith and how they view themselves on the sporting field. And I guess like some of the prominent things to come out of it, you know, like it's heavily talked about is, you know, how you offer yourself as a living sacrifice. And it talks about it a lot in Romans, and it's how, I guess, we view ourselves as athletes, but how we also view it as using our bodies as worship. Some of the things that I thought were really, really interesting to come out of it is like all the students tended to perceive themselves as like, you know, I guess having links to their Christianity, their faith in their sport, but not all of them were able to directly link those together. Like often it would be talked about, you know, maybe they might pray before a game or maybe after the game they might, you know, pray and give thanks to God. But one of the big challenges was on the field. How do they actually bring God and how do they bring their sense of worship onto the playing field in the heat of a game? And some of them openly said, you know, they struggled with that. They struggled with being on the field and having to be competitive and having to try and have that desire to win, but also wanting to honor God, wanting to be humble, wanting to show these qualities on the field. And it's a really interesting dynamic. And I say it's interesting because it's a dynamic that I myself, even at, you know, 33, still struggle with. So I think we can learn a lot from kids. I think we can learn a lot from the heart posture they have. And it's definitely an area that I really, really want to keep pursuing because I just think like it's such grassroots sports is just the rawest form of sports. You know, it's there's no money involved. There's nothing that's corrupting anyone. It's just kids out there just wanting to just, you know, do their best and put their best foot forward and do something they love. And it's just something that I'm extremely passionate about. And if I do continue down this road, I definitely know it's going to be heavily featured with student athletes, youth athletes, and that younger generation. So,
well, Jake, that's really interesting stuff. And you're correct that this is a hard thing to get a handle on. It's a very intriguing question. It's one that seems intuitive that, you know, somehow our faith and our sport are going to go together. It's just that there's just been many articulations of what that looks like. There have been internal feelings trying to figure out, okay, what is it that's happening here? Am I putting a square peg in a round hole? Do these two things not really overlap? And how does that work? So you ask yourself all these sorts of questions. And I wonder if you could take your personal experiences and the research you've done and where would you go next? What are the questions that are remaining after your study that sort of popped up? You're like, okay, wait a minute, there's a little nugget there, or I really like to go this direction. Tell me how you've sort of looked at the data, but also thought of your own experience. And I think that that's an important part of it.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think, you know, a lot of the people that I've spoke to about, I guess, trying to advance my study have all said the same thing, you know, like, if you're not extremely passionate about it, it's probably not going to come to fruition. You know, it needs to be something that you are involved in. I think having lived experience is so important in that. And I guess like some of the things that have really stood out to me, and I guess the direction that I'm looking at going in is how our identity gets shaped by sport is probably one of the more interesting topics. As I said, from I guess a personal perspective, I've struggled a little bit, and I've had conversations with some of my friends about, I guess, what life looks like outside of sport. As someone who's played sport, you know, since I was 5 years old and getting towards the end of my career, what does that look like? Because I don't really know a life without sport. It shaped so much of my identity, and it's so prominent in that. And I guess, like, some of the things that I've been looking at is, well, if we put all our identity in a sport, if we put all our identity in being an athlete, that's when we can start to see the cracks, you know, whether it's injuries, whether it's a bad performance, whether it's the eventual retirement, when all your focus is put on that, it's like, what's next? And if you're so deeply grounded in that, that your faith becomes an afterthought, that's where it can really, really start to be a problem. Like, sport is a fantastic thing. Sport is great. But when your identity becomes solely entrenched in sport, I think that's when problems can occur. So I guess, like, formation, identity, and what life looks like for people who have made sport the center of life, it is a really, really interesting topic for me. Not only from a lived experience, but also, I guess, looking at the data and looking at what the students are going through, because so many of them, even at a young age, see sport as life and death, you know, where it's making the team, it's having that good performance on the weekend. And, you know, I used to say to people, like, I used to be the same. I used to let it get to me. Like, if I had a bad performance on the weekend, it used to ruin my whole week. But, you know, as I said, things change. And I had a conversation very recently with a guy at my football club, and, you know, we had a particularly bad game. We got beat pretty bad. And I said, this used to really, really get to me. I said, but the reality is, I come home, my son gives me a hug, he tells me he loves me, and I sit down with my wife, and all of a sudden I go, you know what, it's not that bad. It's not that bad. I think naturally having, I guess, other avenues in my life that I can be grounded in, such as my faith, such as my family, such as, even my career, like, there's so many different avenues that if I'm placed solely in sport, I don't think I would have that same ability to let things go. So I definitely feel myself getting steered towards that as a potential research topic. And I'm really, really interested, as I said, in youth athletes. And I'm really interested in, I guess, how they perceive their identity in sport. Because, you know, as you guys know, like, at adolescent age, everything's more intense, everything's more passionate, everything's, you know, the be-all, end-all of everything. So I think there's definitely a gap, and there's definitely an area of research that I'd be really interested in exploring. And I think, I guess, being someone on the ground floor who works at a school, who's involved in local sport, I think it presents a really unique opportunity to continue to explore that and what it looks like.
Who's the audience for all of this, Jake? And I guess maybe a better way of asking is, like, who benefits from reading your work, and who's going to benefit from the work that you intend to do in the future?
Yeah, I would like to think that my intended audience could be broad, in the sporting world at least. But I think particularly youth coaches, I guess, as I said, I worked in some pretty high levels of youth sport, and I've seen, I guess, the lack of empathy and the lack of understanding that maybe some coaches and some people can have towards young athletes. And, you know, I've seen what it's like for young kids to dedicate everything they have to an outcome, to a goal, to trying to be the best athlete, the best sportsman they can be. And I've seen that dream taken away from them. And there doesn't seem to be a lot of support and a lot of understanding in what that looks like for young kids. And I would love for my research to help inform that. I would love to help, I guess, shape how educators, how coaches, how anyone involved in youth sport can actually look at the bigger picture. That look at, we're not trying to grow fantastic athletes. We're trying to actually, you know, like, build good humans. We're trying to build people with good morals, good ethics, good values, resilience, and all of these things are so tied into what it means to be a Christian. They're so tied into the message of Jesus, and I just think there's such an overlap there. So if I could have an opportunity to not only help inform youth coaches and youth educators, but also spread a little bit of the message and the gospel in that, I think that's just such an important message that needs to be out there, that these two things can and should be integrated, because it's so important for young people to feel valued, but also to be able to say and be proud of who they are as Christians on the sporting field.
Jake, what a fabulous start to what could be a really intriguing and long career in, you know, sort of studying these sorts of things that we all share in common. Chad and I have done very similar things in terms of walking through doors that have opened. And so we appreciate that sentiment. And we just give you all the encouragement we can to continue on in the good work that you're doing and to do it with the kind of passion that we can hear in your voice. It's been exciting to get to know you, and we look forward to talking to you again. Thanks for coming on Sport Faith Life. It's been wonderful to have you here.
Yeah, look, I appreciate it. You know, it's what a fantastic opportunity it is, as I said, you know, to have people on the other side of the world like reach out and want to talk to you and want to talk about the things you're passionate about. So I really appreciate both of you taking the time to chat with me. And yeah, I look forward to what the future holds and yeah, what this space could look like. And yeah, with any hope, I'll be exploring it a lot more and maybe be able to come back and tell you a lot more about, I guess, some of the research projects that I'll be working on. But once again, you guys are doing fantastic stuff, and it's awesome to know that there are such like-minded people out there pushing the envelope. So I appreciate you guys.